Space Podcast.
Weird.
I think they get shorter every time we...
We didn't have Randall introducing us today.
Yeah. Kick that guy out.
Randall. You know, his latest episode of Don't Wake the Kids, they were discussing... Oh, I'm Aaron, by the way.
I know who you are.
Okay. I was just introducing myself to you.
I'm Craig.
And we're weird. Randall's latest episode, they're talking about Black Mirror.
That's racist.
Have you seen any of those?
I didn't like it.
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Certain ones I love. Certain ones are so.
Starting with the first one, I was pretty put off by it. But the
first one was very disturbing.
Yeah, and then I just didn't care for it.
Lori and I watched an episode. She was so disturbed, she wanted me to shut it off. And it wasn't near episode one disturbance.
It just wasn't for me. I'm not saying anybody else shouldn't listen. Watch it, rather.
Yeah. Listen. Well, it's not for kids. You know, it really crosses some borders. And
But you like a lot of poop in your stuff, in a lot of your entertainment.
I don't.
You like a lot of potty mouth stuff.
No, I don't like it.
This is a family podcast only to keep you on track.
Really?
No, not really.
I didn't think so. How are you, man?
I'm okay.
It's been a week.
It has been. And
it's cold still.
It's not as bad as it was.
No,
and then
it's
suddenly
not.
It started raining, and it wouldn't stop raining.
What if we'd had all this moisture when it was like below?
We would have had no bread or milk in the stores.
True. Well, what's going on? Any news on the family?
If you see them, would you let me know?
That's what I was asking.
No.
All right.
No kids in the house. Well, I got the one. E's in the house now. The other two are back at college. So
yeah, good. So it's back to normal.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I was looking for.
And I already told you about the broke car.
Yeah,
so,
broke,
you know,
car.
Pretty much that's it.
Well.
Not much more.
Well, how about you read that review from Jonathan Duke?
You not tell me what to do.
How about you just go ahead?
Jonathan Duke.
Yes.
This guy. Right. Here. This guy right here.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Just dropping by to let y'all know that I enjoy the podcast. It's great to listen to on my 3-hour drive, starting to get my work partners hooked.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan Duke.
That's pretty nice.
Yes, we need all the help we can get.
That's pretty nice.
If you, listener, have not left us a review yet, please do so.
Are you groveling?
Yes, I am. We're at 62. I'd like to hit 100 reviews this year.
I'd like to have 10 listeners this year.
At the same time? Same episode?
Well, we could spread them out across the... 12 would be easier because then we could do one a month.
Okay.
So if we
that's
12,
a good goal.
A total of 12 listeners this year.
Good goal.
We need the one that's listening right now to tell all their friends.
Well, my pops, he already had. Oh, speaking of pops, before we get to the top story,
I
got an update.
Okay.
So I'm sitting at work, and I thought, I'll call pops. I hadn't talked to him since Christmas.
Instead of working.
It was on break. It was the only time we can use our phone is on break.
Okay.
So I call pops, and apparently he was tired of being blamed for giving Alan the password to call us that time. So he put on his detective cap. It looks like Sherlock Holmes, and he got his pipe.
Right.
And he found out how Alan discovered the code word.
Oh, really?
My mother.
So Alan really didn't listen.
No, he didn't.
So your mother's a mole.
She is. She cheated.
She's a leak.
She taught me growing up you don't cheat.
And I helped her move her grandfather clock.
You did. You helped her move a lot of stuff.
And she turns around
and cheats.
You know what she did?
What?
Favorite Alan again.
Well, I want to apologize to my father because I did blame him right here on this microphone.
I did not blame
No,
him.
You didn't.
No, because I don't treat him that way.
No.
Like you. But I think we really wish what we should be talking about is how dishonest Alan is.
Yes. Ever tell you about the stockings?
Yeah. But also, we need to think about for a second how Alan
we could go
has,
get
tarnished,
him.
Has tarnished.
The Lindsay name.
No, tarnished his reputation of being the great one that's
yes,
so awesome.
Yes.
He couldn't even stop and throw you a bone and listen to an episode.
No. And instead, he acts like he did with the help of my mom.
And your mom.
Yeah.
God love her.
Sorry, Pops.
She's party to this.
Yes.
She's so unassuming when you're
around.
You think when you see her, you think, nice lady, you know, whatever. No, you know what she's doing? Taking notes.
Yeah, for Alan.
Taking notes for Alan.
Alan's her number one.
She's running the other room, blabbing
And she doesn't hold bones about it either. I mean, he's favorite, sure.
He is pretty dreamy.
He got bad knees.
Yeah, he does.
Are you going to take the top attitude. Story or what?
Top story.
Dang, that was loud. I feel sorry for that one listener, if we still have him, that jogs and it just blew his earbuds out. What was that about?
It's all cranked up is all.
Wow. Do you think maybe you could check that? It's
yeah, I check
called,
it.
It's called QA. You should check that out sometime.
I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Hey.
Yeah.
This headline had me cracking up.
It's a true story.
Turkish academic claims Prophet Noah used cell phone to call his son before the flood.
It's a miracle.
Let's just let that sit there for a minute.
What if that really was true? His son's like, what the? What's it? What's this?
How'd he call his son? So there were at least two cell phones back
had
then.
Had to be. Yeah, had to be.
So let that just steep for a minute.
This Think is a about, Turkish academic.
Turkish academic claims Prophet Noah, as in Noah's Ark,
yep,
used cell phone to call his son before the flood.
It's sinking in.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
You just got to kind of stir it around the dish a little bit. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah. I wonder what the ringtone was. It's raining men.
I don't think so.
No.
No. You could be more clever than that. Come on.
Oh, speaking of rain and whatnot, I heard a new name for a mullet this week.
What?
The Arkansas waterfall.
Well, it's always been called Kentucky waterfall.
Yeah, but Arkansas rhymes so much better.
I don't know.
Arkansas it's waterfall. Hard to No, come on.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Nope, it's from now on with me, it's the Arkansas waterfall.
Okay.
Frank Backus might enjoy that one. Anyway.
He doesn't enjoy anything. I bet he's not listening.
No, but his son probably is.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I'm not going to play that game again because his although I trust.
Code word. Text me.
Although I trust Flash Chackas not to do this.
Yeah, Flash wouldn't. He wouldn't do it.
I think if. Frank, if Frank is listening, text one of us the code, bring the tacos.
Yeah.
And if we get a text from Frank that says, bring the tacos, we know he listened. And I'm going to tell you right now, Flash Jackus, I don't want to find out that you cheated. All right?
You want to get back to this academic?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so this Turkish guy and Noah walk into a bar. A Turkish academic claimed on January 6th that the prophet Noah called his son via cell phone.
Via.
What did I say?
Via.
What you say, Saga. He called his son via cell phone shortly before the famous flood.
I say Saga.
You say Saga.
I say Saga. You always yell at me.
It's Saga. You say Saga, just like you say McDonald's, you back hills hick. All right. Can I finish now?
Please.
A Turkish academic claimed on January 1st that the prophet Noah called his son via cell phone.
Thank you.
Shortly before the famous flood, the story of which is recounted in both the Quran and the Old Testament.
The OT. I like to call it down with the OT. I'm down with the OT.
Speaking on state-run channel TRT1 on January 6th, Yavuz Ornek, a lecturer at the Marine Sciences Facility of Istanbul University, said Noah communicated with his son via cell phone as they were a long way from each other. Okay.
How else would they do it?
I guess the megaphones weren't working.
He spoke. Go ahead, keep reading.
There was a huge 300 to 400 meter high waves, and the prophet Noah's son was many kilometers away. The Quran says Noah spoke with his son, but how did they manage to communicate? Was it a miracle? It could be.
It could be.
But we believe he's communicated with his son via cell phone.
We believe, huh? Who's we?
Himself. Me, myself, and I. He also claimed that Noah himself built the ship made of steel plates, and the ship use nuclear energy.
Well, he needs to read the OT version where it talks about the gopher wood.
Right.
Yeah.
I am a scientist. I speak for science.
No, Ornick, you do not.
The prophet Noah, who in the Bible's book of Genesis built the ark that saved his family and many pairs of animals from the great flood, is revered by Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. An entire chapter in the Quran is devoted to him and his story. Scientists and adventurers? What, these guys that go climbing?
Absolutely.
Adventurers.
Yes, they are.
Have been searching. Oh, I see. I thought they were going to say something about the story, but they're talking about just people looking for the
yes.
ark.
Yes.
Yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
They think they found it up on Mount Ararat.
Absolutely, yeah.
They think that actually Kubrick filmed it up there. Well, that's Kubrick filmed it in a studio in Van Nuys or somewhere. It was Burbank.
Whatever.
Anyway, scientists and adventurers have been searching for Noah's lost ark for many years. A team of evangelical Christian explorers. Why can't they say Christian explorers? It's always evangelical.
I don't know.
Why is that?
I can't answer that
evangelical
question.
Christian explorers claim they found the remains of Noah's Ark beneath snow and volcanic debris on Turkey's Mount Agri.
That's another one.
That's a different one.
Yeah.
In the eastern province of Agri, National Geographic News had reported back in 2010.
So he never really went into detail about the cell phone. I wonder what model it was.
Well, here's the thing he's forgetting, too.
It was an IM phone.
A what?
IM phone.
I am. I get it. That's funny. You're a funny guy. So what I was going to say, they didn't have cell towers.
No, they didn't.
So was it like direct communication?
Had to be. That's so funny
to
me.
Of all the things they communicate with, he didn't think of fire, smoke signals.
A bird with a
bird,
yeah.
A carrier pigeon.
Yes,
I don't
they
know.
Had
I'm,
those.
I'm making crap up.
Absolutely.
I don't know. But really?
It's bizarre. True story, though.
He used a satellite dish.
Here's another true story. This one comes to us from your friend of mine.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you want me to? Okay, I was going to.
Turn that down a little.
Yeah. Headline is, from our friend Mark Patch. United Airlines flight diverted to Alaska after passenger smears feces everywhere.
Mark Patch did this?
No, he sent us the story.
It does sound like Mark Patch.
Passengers on this plane will probably...
passengers
on this plane will probably say they've had a crappy flight. Oh, wait. United Airlines flight from Chicago to Hong Kong.
Hey, we got a listener in Hong Kong.
Had to be redirected to Alaska because of a passenger smearing feces everywhere. KTVA reports.
Maybe it was a typo. It was Reese's.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like hiss or something else's.
What? That'd be Hershey.
United Airlines flight 895 was diverted to Anchorage Thursday when an adult male smeared his poop within a couple of bathrooms on the plane.
If it would have been an adolescent, would they have made a big deal out of it?
No. The man also took off his shirt and tried to stuff it in the toilet. Following the incident, the man was reportedly cooperative with the flight crew and was seated when the flight touched ground in Alaska. FBI agents and airport police met with the passengers and had to be interviewed by both agencies. No charges were filed against the man, but he was taken to the hospital for a psych evaluation and hand sanitizer. The incident is under investigation by both airport police and the FBI. The flight was reportedly grounded overnight for maintenance. They had to bring in...
This whole thing stinks.
Oh.
Darn it.
Oh, you don't know how to use...
These buttons are way too close together.
This
but
just
that
in.
One worked.
This just in.
Yeah.
This just in.
Go ahead.
This just in. This just in. I'm trying to give several variations there for the crowd. Bam Margera locked up for a DUI after stopping to talk to cops who were on another traffic stop.
Why you do
why
that?
Why is this even news? This but, guy, why?
Why you do that? I don't understand why you do that.
He's off the wagon. Okay, so he was on a wagon?
He got off to talk to the cops.
He got off the wagon to talk to the cops. MTV's Viva La Bam star Bam Margera. I never really knew how to say his name.
I knew who the guy is.
I just didn't really
now
care.
He's a biker, right?
He's a skateboarder.
Was he a skateboarder?
I think he was a skateboarder.
Because James had a video game, Bam something, but he
I should know.
He wrote
it kind of runs in my family.
Yeah, I was going to ask if your brother knew him.
I don't know if he did or not. I don't really. The name Bam. Bam!
That's probably... I bet if your brother knew him, he probably went by his real name, which isn't obviously not Bam.
It's
pronounced Bam.
Stewie. He was driving past officers in the middle of another traffic stop when he slowed down to talk to the officers. They immediately smelled alcohol on him. They proceeded to give him a sobriety test. Well, that was nice. They just gave him one. Do you think they carry those around to give people?
They should have warned him a day or two in advance so he could have studied.
Yeah.
That's
well, they gave
fair.
It to him, but he had to pay for it, apparently. He's paying.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he is.
He promptly failed that test. He was booked into jail and since been released on $15,000.
Now, that seems like a lot of bail for a DUI. Is it because he's somewhat of a star?
Is that what you call it?
I don't know.
Bam has struggled with alcohol for years. You've seen him like on the side of the road. It'd be like a bottle.
A sign.
Him in a bottle like wrestling. And
he's struggling with it. He's got a sign, we'll ride bike for booze.
And it, you're making light of alcoholism.
I should not do that.
You should not do that. Yeah. But you're making fun of a guy who's causing trouble.
Though. Yeah, yeah. And he knows better.
Okay, so anyway, his former Jackass co-star, Ryan Dunn, died during a drunk driving accident. That right there alone, his friend, his co-star died. So why would he does not need to be doing that.
No, he shouldn't be doing it anyway, but you're right. I mean, one of them's gone now.
You're not going to get that volume under control tonight, are you?
How's that? That's much better.
Better.
Yeah, much better. I love this song. Do you know that?
Yeah. Do you know that? Apparently so.
This next story.
I blame those long intros.
That was a very long
for
intro.
For all of our problems right now. Everything we talked about, where everything's going on right now,
yeah.
It's because of that.
Hey, you like ice cream.
I don't like Vegemite.
But you like ice cream.
I like ice cream. Vegemite's the nastiest smelling crap I've ever smelled in my life next to like poop in an airplane.
Headline is Vegemite ice cream. Vegemite says they'll be all the rage this summer. You going to have some? It's good for you.
I smelled, a friend of mine from Australia had some. It was a little, I think Kraft, it was a jar made by Kraft. It was Vegemite. And
what did it smell like?
But, no, it smelled really... It was just nasty. I didn't like. I mean, I'm sorry to all of our friends in Australia, but the stuff.
Well, they don't have to like it either.
That's like me saying I'm really into motor oil. Like, give me some motor oil. Give me some. Give me some.
Was it like that?
No, it's like
I've never had it. I've heard of it since, of course, the men.
I remember
men at work,
what I recall is it looked like something the consistency of Vaseline or something. It was or maybe something like that. Like or
kind of
Carmex or
slimy.
No, nah, just. Not gelatinous, really kind of just weird.
Well, but you didn't eat any?
Heck no.
I've always wanted to try one since Men at Work made it famous.
Well, they had a Vegemite sandwich in that song. Yeah. But why don't you ask Adam or Lee if they'll maybe send you some?
Hey, Adam or Lee, would you maybe send me some Vegemite?
Or Mark.
They didn't answer. I didn't hear anything.
Mark might.
All right, let me get the story. Backpack loves.
I'm just telling you right now. Have you read what it is?
No, I don't know anything about it.
I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like a yeast.
I know it
or
comes
something.
From the land down
it's
under.
It's like a yeast or something. It's disgusting. They love it. They love it down there.
Do they really?
You know what I say?
What?
To my three Australian mates down there,
what?
We just named.
What?
Change my mind.
Oh, you want some too? So
change my mind.
Okay.
The gauntlet's been thrown down. They're probably all going, crap's nasty.
Back Paddock, I don't know who or what that is, loves Vegemite as much as any other Dinky D.
Dinky D?
Dinky D, Terry Blue, Aussie.
Yo, that's not a Dinky D.
But we draw a line when it comes to yeast-extracted flavored ice confectionery.
See, I just said yeast. I didn't cheat. That's I said that.
Yes, Vegemite tweeted recently that Vegemite ice cream will be all the rage for summer and have put the recipe for them on its website.
It'll be all the vomiting this summer, too.
We wonder if Bega Cheese, which bought the iconic brand earlier this year, is being a bit too enthusiastic in expanding Vegemite's reach. But you never know. People do love chili chocolate.
What?
Yes. It's got, you know, chocolate with chili peppers in it. It's delicious.
All right.
It's really good, and it gives you a kick. So we don't, whoever wrote the story.
It gives you the what?
Whoever wrote the story says they don't condemn it before they try it.
You just kind of faded off on that, didn't you?
No, I didn't fade.
And now you can't even hear the themes anymore. What is wrong with you? Pick a volume.
That is the end of the story.
Pick a volume.
That better?
That's better.
I'm having problems with the soundboard.
Be consistent, why don't you?
My sister's not here.
This just in.
Yeah.
Woman run over with her own car while trying to escape. Cat attack.
Cats don't attack. Oh, I used to have a cat attack. Cat that would attack.
When you get older, you get cat attacks. You just have to get a doctor to take those off your eyeballs.
No, I thought you got a new car. You got a cataract.
Uh-huh. West Cocoa, Florida. Sounds tasty there, doesn't it?
West Cocoa.
A woman said a cat jumped into her car and attacked her as she was trying to escape. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's happening here?
What?
Cat attack.
That doesn't happen.
It's cat
attack. I mean,
this is a cat attack.
If it were a lion, maybe.
A woman said a cat jumped into her car and attacked her as she was trying to escape.
Oh, I see what happened. It was a guy. And she was telling the cops, this cat comes along.
No, it was a cat.
Well.
I think it was a cat.
Okay, go ahead. That was my theory.
I feel like I'm starting that three times going to be the charm. A woman said a cat jumped into her car and attacked her, and as she was trying to escape the feline's fury, she was run over by her own vehicle as it rolled in reverse, according to officials from the Florida Highway Patrol.
She done run over herself.
The woman said she had left her car parked in grass.
That's
not
bad.
Not in any grass. In grass. In front of a house on Magnolia Avenue in West Cocoa on Friday evening, she was preparing to drive off when the cat pounced into the car and attacked her.
What's wrong with this cat?
In an attempt to escape the cat's claws, the woman got out of the vehicle, forgetting that it was in reverse, according to FHP, also known as It's very unusual to have a cat leap into a car and bite someone like this, and then we get run and then get run over by your own car. The car rolled into the street and did strike a parked vehicle as well, Lieutenant Channing Taylor said. Troopers said the car rolled over the woman, leaving her with critical injuries.
Oh, wow.
Video from the scene showed the woman on a stretcher as first responders transported her in a medical helicopter.
I'd like to see actual video of the cat jumping in the car.
You can see cat attacks online all day long on YouTube.
Hey,
cats
we got
being jerks.
YouTube is a good way to waste a lot of time, but it's fun. Back to Florida we go, Craig. Headline is, man calls 911 to report himself drunk driving. So he had a conscience. So this guy...
A conscience?
Yeah, he was conscious. He was not unconscious. He had a conscience.
A conch shell?
So something like that. A conscience, I guess you could say.
Conscience.
A Winter Haven, Florida man called police on himself New Year's Eve to report that he was driving drunk. Polk County Sheriff's offices said he phones in to report himself.
Polk Salad Sheriff's officials?
Polk Salad Annie said that he called in to report himself. Michael Lester told 911 dispatchers, I'm too drunk. I don't know where I'm at. He went on saying, I don't know, driving around, trying to get pulled over, actually, he told the dispatcher. As a matter of fact, we've got all this on. That's not part of it.
911, what's the rest of your emergency?
All over Winter Haven.
What's the address of your emergency right now?
All over Winter Haven. He's not
so,
just...
Hello?
I don't know.
He's
drunk. I don't know where I'm at.
Okay, what is it you're trying to report, sir?
This is actual 911.
I was just drunk driving.
You're drunk driving right now?
Yeah, all night.
All night.
Okay, well, can you
I'm
pull
actually
up?
Right in front of the police department right now.
Okay, can you pull over somewhere so an officer?
They won't.
Where are you right now?
I don't know. I'm too drunk.
Okay, well, you need to pull over.
He's honest.
Can you pull over?
He
for
has
me?
A conscience and he's honest.
Can you pull over for me so again?
You think they confiscated his conch shell?
Now this is a 3-minute call, but it's loaded with gold, so I'm going to let it roll for a minute.
Can you look around and see for a sign?
What color is your? Yeah, it's right past the. Police department, but no one's there, so.
Sir, what color is your
crazy.
Sir,
it's kind of crazy.
What color is your vehicle?
It is red.
What kind is it?
Oh, it's F-150.
Okay.
It's real nice.
Got some rims. Over to?
I don't know what street this is here, but it's right past the police station in Winter Haven. Let me ask you a question.
Okay, well, sir, I have.
He's turning the tables.
No, this is Polk County Sheriff's Office. We dispatch for Winter Haven. And we have a unit coming out to you now. What is your last name? Your last name, sir?
I think I'm going to go get something to eat.
Sir, what is your last name?
Is it helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful.
Is it helpful?
Okay. Where have you been all night?
Where have I been all your life?
Over, actually.
Sir, what is your last name?
No.
Okay, you called because you wanted assistance. Are you driving now or did you pull over?
No, I pulled over.
Okay, what are you next to? Can you look out there and see what you're near? A landmark? What do you see?
It's,
He's open. He opened the door?
Silver Manor. I'm probably going to pull in here.
Do you need EMS or paramedics?
No, I need the police department.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to get to you. So, if you do me a favor, look out. What
Florida
do you
delivers.
See a McDonald's
every time.
A bank. What do you see?
It's a Publix.
Publix.
Publix. Are you in the parking lot?
He's going one of those sandwiches.
No, I'm driving They're on good. The wrong side of the road.
driving on the wrong side of the road. Why are we laughing? This isn't funny.
No, it
sir,
is.
Where are you? You really don't want to hurt.
You have a nice night,
sir.
All right,
sir.
Have a good night.
Sir, I'm looking for you right now. I need you to pull over right now.
I am pulled over. You don't need to tell me what to do.
I'm trying to help you. And you're on the wrong side of the street. You may hurt somebody or yourself.
Look, I'll park in the middle of the road. This
no, I don't want you parking in the middle of the road.
You don't want me on the side of the street?
He's the most laid-back drunk ever.
Either they're going to do it or not.
They're going to do what or not?
I'll have to let you go.
I got to talk to the police. That's it. That's all we got.
Wow.
So,
and your wife recorded that when you were
no.
in Florida?
So this guy, Michael Lester, he later admitted to not just consuming alcohol before getting behind the wheel, but also meth, saying he had been awake for days. And if you notice, he didn't sound drunk.
No.
So I think he was more methed
or he was just,
than messed
he was
up.
At the sleep deprivation stage.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. He says, you don't tell me what to do.
I'm driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, and then you hear,
why are,
are you in the parking lot? No, I'm driving on the wrong side of the road.
We'll just take this north of there a little bit.
Go ahead.
You want to take a little north of
yeah.
there a little bit?
If you don't mind.
This just in.
Head north.
We're heading north to Alabama.
Oh, I like Alabama.
Alabama newspaper executive resigns after admitting he once spanked a reporter.
He spanked a reporter.
Well, did the reporter
you know
need
why,
some kind of...
you know why I like Alabama? They spank people. But also, Auburn. Auburn's in Alabama. Go ahead. Read your little story about spanking.
So anyway, obviously the reporter needs some discipline.
Yes.
The former publisher of the Aniston... Oh, that's Jennifer Aniston's newspaper.
You know what?
I made that
up. It's not, but there is a connection. Jennifer Aniston, that's not her real last name.
Yeah.
Her dad spent some time in
San Quentin,
in Aniston, and told
he was the Old Spice guy.
Yeah, that guy. He spent some time in Aniston, Alabama, and liked it so much, talked about it so much that she chose that as her last name.
Wow. The more you know.
There you go.
You just really opened up right then.
It's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I was just being silly.
I'm telling you.
The former publisher of the Jennifer Aniston Star in Alabama, H. Brandt. Ayers, I guess, resigned on Thursday as chairman of the company that owns the newspaper after admitting he spanked a reporter in the 70s. Okay.
Wow, that's a long time
ago. Can I read this story?
You can, yes. Yes, you can.
His resignation came after several former reporters accused him in recent days of misconduct, allegations that brought about a swift downfall of him, of Mr. Ayers, who led the Star during the Civil Rights era as a rare liberal in the South.
Yeah, it used to be rare.
After taking over the Star from his father in the 60s, Mr. Ayer wrote editorials denouncing bigotry and advocating school integration.
While spanking reporters. It's interesting that it says up here.
I knew I wouldn't get through another paragraph.
I just found it interesting that it says several former reporters have accused him of misconduct. So it wasn't just this one. But go ahead.
Can I? I don't
Please.
Know if I can or not.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
In an article published on Monday, a former reporter for the Star, Veronica Pike Kennedy, told the newspaper that Mr. Ayers spanked her against her will. Well, you know, when I was in school, when I was elementary school.
I mean, just how do you do this? I'm the boss.
When I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
If I got, let's say elementary, junior high, and high school, there are a few times I did something wrong or maybe
right.
didn't. And I got paddled.
Yeah.
So maybe she just did something wrong and just needed to be disciplined.
I got paddled by the great Coach Langford.
Oh, I did too. We talked about this.
Yeah.
I was set up by my own mom.
Ooh. I still feel that some nights I wake up like, oh!
Oh, phantom.
Yeah. Nightmares.
You see a silhouette of a large bulldog at the end of your... Yeah,
yes.
I know what you're talking about. I was still determined to be a reporter after that, Miss Kennedy, who worked at the newspaper in her 20s, told the Star, but I hated Brandy Ayers with every cell in my body.
That's a lot of hate, because you know how many cells you got in your body?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
In response to the accusation, Mr. Ayers, who was 40 and 75, told the newspaper that he had made mistakes as a young journalist but did not address the specific allegations. But on Tuesday, Mr. Ayers acknowledged in an interview with the Star that he spanked another reporter, Wendy Siegel,
at her
home in 73 or 74.
He went to her house.
Mr. Ayers claimed that Ms. Siegel had an ailment and that the doctor told him that spanking her could help. I called the doctor and asked him what I should do. And he said, calm her down, Mr. Ayers told the Star.
So what, spank her?
Yes. When the reporter at the newspaper recently asked him about the accusation from Ms. Kennedy, he replied, let the accusation stand.
So he's not denying it. He's admitting
it. Mr. Ayer stepped down as the publisher in 2016, but stayed on as chairman of the Consolidated Publishing in Aniston, a city of 22,000, about halfway between Atlanta and Birmingham, Alabama.
So what we have here is a boss in the 70s that, hey, you do something in the office you're not supposed to, you not only get verbal reprimand.
I just think it's funny that, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, but it's just kind of funny now. We're going to start getting things out from back in 1812.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's going to get to the point where
it's
things...
It's so far back. I'm going back to Florida. We have more fun there. And this is one of those stories that might make us both angry. Headline is, just when it clicks. Woman falls in love with the game Tetris and is planning to marry quote-unquote him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That makes me angry. It just makes me shake my head and go, really?
A woman in Florida has found true love with the game Tetris and is planning to marry it. Where was she 20 years ago when it was all the rage? She's just now discovering Tetris?
Mean, she could have carried it around in her back pocket on the Game Boy.
Yeah. Norel Mahibin Hassan.
I think it's new rule. She's making new rules.
Who prefers to be known as Fractal Tetris Huracan, age 20, says she has been in an intimate relationship with the Tetris game since 2016. The relationship is very involved. As she explains, she spends up to 12 hours a day playing the game on various devices. Don't tell Tetris, but this isn't her first love. She was previously in love with a calculator that she named Pierre de Fermat.
Okay.
Fractal says she currently enjoys a physical relationship with Tetris objects and sleeps with Tetris hard drives and pillows. You know, you're not supposed to do that before you're married.
So she's infatuated with Tetris. She's not in love. Okay.
No, she's got this thing. I'll explain here in a minute. She identifies Tetris as male. I love him so much and get an immense sense of satisfaction with him. I have a strong connection with him and have invested so much in him, she explains to Metro UK. The college student has her priorities in order. She's planning to graduate before she gets married to the man she loves to pieces, Craig. Pieces.
Wow.
Yes. In the meantime, she continues to show her devotion to him with various Tetris paraphernalia, including a necklace, Tetris-shaped lamps, T-shirts, magnets, and rare Tetris hard drive editions.
I guess when it comes to all the other guys she's ever dated, they just don't stack up.
While she won't be able to marry Tetris in the legal sense, she is instead planning a commitment ceremony for all her friends to witness. How does she speak? How do you think?
Friends?
Yeah, they're Mario is one. Luigi. I want to say I'm married to Tetris
Hubert.
And have a legitimate ceremony, Pac-Man said. Fractal said. I want everybody to be there. Well, I won't be there. I feel that...
I wasn't asked.
Like to. I feel that would be an official thing, which would set it in stone and say, I love you, and I want to prove it to you by making it permanent and calling myself Miss Tetris.
Oh, Lord, Ooh. This has got two pages.
A sign of a great relationship is that you help one another grow, and Fractal says she has that now, and unlike the lines in the game, she doesn't expect it to disappear. She said, I think Tetris is so beautiful. He is about perfection, and he stimulates your mind.
You have to have one.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to skip a few of these. But she identifies as objectum something or another, which means she's attracted to things instead of people. And around the time she fell
objectum,
in love.
Objectum, yeah.
Okay, anyway, she called herself Fractal because she used to be obsessed with Pierre, some kind of math
she's
thing.
She's non-binary objectum.
Yes. She even got to enjoy taking her calculator to her prom as her date.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet she was a blast in high school.
Yeah, she's a lot
of
fun.
That's about it on that one, though.
Yeah, I think.
What a story. Huh?
There's just some stories you stop in the middle and say there's nothing more.
Yeah, you think she'd marry somebody that wasn't such a square.
I don't have any more. I feel bad.
Tetri. Their children would be Tetri.
I don't have any more Tetris things in my head. I can't. This just in. Actress slams pretentious restaurant after husband accidentally eats napkin.
Why shouldn't she slam her husband for that? Why are you slamming the restaurant? Maybe they had it decorated as a cake?
I don't know.
Go ahead and read.
Tracy Ann Oberman, 51, best known for playing Old Vic Landlady, Chrissy Watts.
Oh, yeah, Chrissy Watts. You remember her.
Was left baffled by a Spanish restaurant's haute cuisine. Is that
Ooh, it's haute.
Haute cuisine.
Let that cool down a minute.
Her and her husband, Rob Cohen... let me try that again. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Her and husband, yeah. Rob Cohen's confusion peaked, however, when he nearly tucked into a white dish served on a what? Sometimes I'm reading stuff and I think it's going to be.
They brought him soap on a rope and a rag. He must have had something on his face.
It says, her and husband, Rob Cowan's confusion peaked, however, when he nearly tucked into a white dish served in a rope-bound block of stone, which turned out to be his napkin. What did I just read? Taking to Twitter, Ms. Oberman wrote, "You know it's a Michelin star when the napkins are inflated with water in a Neanderthal carver holder."
What in the world does that mean?
What does all this mean?
A Michelin star?
Rob tried to eat it. They were horrified. The actress, also known for her roles in Doctor Who and Toast of... Okay, whoa.
Yeah, she's probably one we know in old Doctor
Let's
Who.
Let's just back this
Tracy
up a minute.
Tracy Ann Oberman.
You know, it's a Michelin star when the napkins are inflated with water and Neanderthal carver holder. Wow. Rob tried to eat it. They were horrified. The actress, also known for her roles in Doctor Who and Toast of London, went on to say
She's a pretty big deal over in England, man. She's like a big star.
What is this Michelin thing that she keeps referring to?
I don't know. Maybe that's a rating that they have over there.
I don't know. I think a tire is here.
They do.
She added, bloody Michelin pretentiousness.
Whatever that means.
The chef in question has 8 Michelin stars. Okay, they're stars across his restaurant. Okay, this all... sometimes you just get sweaty reading these. I don't know what you're talking about. So let's go back again.
She was Yvonne
Let's
Hartman.
Let's unpack this a little bit.
Okay, on Doctor Who, she was Yvonne Hartman, by the way.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
So...
But over there, she's best known as old Vic landlady, Chrissy Watts.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We talked about Chrissy.
All I can really get out of this story is that he got something that resembles a rock with a rope tied around it and a napkin, and they're pretentious, and he almost died because he was stupid.
Yes, that's it. And then she slams the restaurant. And gives him 1 Michelin star on the rating app.
Wow.
It's tough, huh? All right, headline is, man wrongly taken into custody, forced to take antipsychotic drugs, given a $50 gift card as an apology. I think I would want a little more. He's probably going to have to pass that gift card on to his attorney when he sues these people.
Yeah.
A Meadville man is suing over a case of mistaken identity. Eugene Wright.
EW?
You remember the song Eugene in the 70s?
No.
It goes, my name is Eugene. The guy stutters?
No.
Oh, I wish I had it.
I wasn't born until around the 80s.
Oh, please. Whatever. Eugene Wright, 63, says he still has nightmares after what happened to him just 6 months ago. Wright, now retired, said he was outside his home in June of last year when Meadville police and a representative with Stairways Behavioral Health confronted him. They explained to me earlier that day at 10 a.m., I was in an orthopedic office threatening people, but I was at work, Wright said. He said they never...
Because I don't go to the orthopedic office to threaten people till 3.
He said they never checked his identity, but instead, police took him to Meadville Medical Center. Wright kept insisting they had the wrong person, which is what the right person always usually does.
Yeah, the right person.
And they looked at his license, and it said Mr. Wright.
And they thought,
this is the right man. Yeah, because right. He is a right guy.
The dad jokes are strong this year with you.
According to a federal civil lawsuit filed Wednesday, doctors injected Wright with Halidol, an antipsychotic medication with Ativan.
I think you added a syllable to that word.
Which is used to treat anxiety disorders. I was powerless. I had no control of what was going on down there, Wright said. Doctors later realized that they had the wrong Eugene Wright. They had the wrong Wright, Greg.
Yeah, they had the wrong Wright.
Apologized and gave him a $50 gift card to a steakhouse. We're sorry we drugged you and took you out for the day.
They probably kicked him out on the sidewalk with the gown on. Go eat.
Yeah, now he's suing the police department, the medical center, and the behavioral health center just to send a message.
I bet he ate the steak, though.
I don't know if he did or not.
You know, this must be a Kim Jong-un story. This just in, North Korea accidentally hits one of its own cities with a missile.
Oh, we so sorry.
Oops.
I'm sorry.
Oops. We got him on them tacos.
I hit wrong button.
Yeah, my bad.
It's okay. I make it snow now for you.
Yeah, I make it snow now. After I climbed the top of a mountain with these
House shoes.
House shoe bunny slippers. A North Korean missile reportedly crashed into one of its own cities after it failed just minutes following its launch.
Failure to
after
launch.
After following, or more like its lunch.
Yeah.
U.S. officials said the Hwasong-12 intermediate-range ballistic missile was initially thought to have disintegrated mid-flight after it was fired on April 28th last year. However, new data suggests it landed in the city of Tokchon, around 90 miles north of the secretive communist country capital, Pyongyang. Tokchon has a population, or at least had a population, of around 200,000.
Now it's seven.
The missile likely exploded on impact, causing significant damage to a complex of industrial or agricultural buildings. The diplomat, that's irony, the Diplomat magazine reported, citing a U.S. intelligence source along satellite imagery. Is the Diplomat magazine, that's not one of their magazines.
No, it's not. It's okay. Where the story broke.
So it's not actually irony. Right. I thought that was theirs.
Yeah, that would be
ironic. That would be funny if that was called the Diplomat.
That'd be a little ironic, don't you think?
Yeah. After its launch from the Pukchang airfield.
Pukchang.
I'm hungry calling all these names out. It sounds like a dish.
I have some I want a large Pukchang with fried rice.
Yes, please.
Extra
and
spice.
Egg roll, please. The missile flew approximately 24 miles to the northeast, the report stated, adding that it flew no higher than around 43 miles. A U.S. government source said the missile's first stage engines failed around 1 minute after it was launched. Liquid fuel missiles can cause massive explosions when they fail, and satellite images from Google Earth taken after the test show a cleared area where a building once stood. Yeah. Too bad it wasn't his location. And damage to a greenhouse caused by debris.
So Kim Jong-un said, "Why you not launching rocket yet?" And they said, "It's not ready, sir.
When's it get here? When's it get here?
It's not ready. It only go, I don't know, 24 miles. Launch it." So they did, and that's
he's like, "Why you caught the boomerang?"
Headline is, "World's most expensive vodka bottle found empty on a Danish building site." Somebody said, "Hey, look what I found. Who wants a drink?"
It's empty.
A stolen bottle of vodka, thought to be the world's most expensive at $1.3 million, has been found empty on a construction site.
Even if I empty.
Danish police say the bottle, made from gold and silver and with a diamond-encrusted cap, was on loan to a Copenhagen bar.
What'd you say?
I say Copenhagen bar, which had a collection of vodkas on display. CCTV.
Great station.
That's so good. Released on Wednesday showed an intruder who grabbed the Russo-Baltique vodka and fled the bar. So somebody walked in and grabbed it. They didn't know it was most expensive.
No, they just grabbed it.
Yeah, they just grabbed the first bottle, and of course it was sparkly.
When they wanted vodka, they didn't care what it was.
No.
They just wanted something that said vodka.
The bottle was found unbroken on a construction site in the city. "I don't know what happened with the vodka, but the bottle was empty." Riyad Tuba, spokesman for Cuban Tuba Jr. Spokesman for the Copenhagen police told the AFP news agency, unfortunately, it's empty. It was one of those working on the construction site that is founded, he told the Danish newspaper. Mr. Ingberg said that he had more of the vodka that was previously in the bottle, so he planned to refill it and put it back on display. That's a foul. Who's to say that it's not just some Schweinerheimer, $1 bottle that he's putting in there?
You like Schweinerheimer?
I don't even know if that's a thing. I just made up a
Schweinerheimer.
Name. It's been part of my collection for 6 months, but it's not anymore, he said. Russian luxury car maker Russo-Baltique is said to have created the vodka to commemorate the century of the company's factory. I bet Russia uses vodka to commemorate a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The front of the bottle is decorated with leather and has a replica of the radiator guard used for the cars. The cap is shaped like a Russian Imperial Eagle and is encrusted with diamonds. Mr. Imberg said the bottle had been featured in an episode of House of Cards as a gift from the Russian president to his U.S. counterpart.
It's
got
to be a better-looking bottle than that creepy one Dan Aykroyd sells.
The skull?
The skull.
Was that Crystal Head vodka?
That's creepy. Yeah. Hey, this just in. U.S. cassette album sales rose 35% in 2017.
That can't be true.
Cassette album sales continued to show growth in 2017, led by all things, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy, because he has a cassette He has a Walkman.
Yeah.
Last year, cassette album, I wish they quit saying cassette album. Cassette album sales rose by 35% to 174,000 sold.
Good night.
According to Nielsen Music. In 2016, there were 129,000 sold.
Okay, hang on. Let me stop you for a second. Do you, if right now, let's just say you wanted to go buy a cassette, where would you go?
The record store.
No, they don't sell them.
They don't have record stores anymore.
No, that's it. Where are you going to go get a cassette?
Well, maybe like albums. You know, they started selling them again.
I haven't seen them.
I've seen albums.
I've seen albums, but I haven't seen any cassettes.
I've seen albums.
I mean, there's reasons for albums, because they sound different than digital.
It's gimmicky. That's why the cassette thing's back.
Okay.
So I was at our little $5 joint we go to.
Yeah.
And I found, because it was quarter day.
Yes, that's fun day.
And basically, it's leftover Amazon returns and stuff. And I found in there, sitting loose in the thing, a cassette to MP3 converter.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be doggone, dang darn it. It worked. Like, I put two batteries in the thing, put a cassette in that I had something on that I had recorded a long time ago, plugged in USB into the Mac to open up Audacity like a champ.
How about that? I need to get you to do our wedding. We've got a cassette of our wedding.
You're going
to
get married?
That's funny.
Audio cassette?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you are old.
Yeah. I got married in 1988.
Did you have the guy that took the picture and had to, like, it smoke went everywhere when the flash went off?
Yes.
Still, cassettes remain an incredibly niche format. I would say niche, but I want to say niche because it sounds more pretentious.
It does.
Niche format, as they only comprise 0.10% of all album sales in 2017 and just 0.17% of physical album sales. That said, comparatively, in 2009, 2010, and 2011, cassette album sales numbered just 34,000, 21,000, and 31,000, respectively. So while the format is still mostly a curiosity in 2017, it has made some sizable gains in recent years and has seen some pretty major albums garner releases on cassettes recently. Among those, compilation The Hamilton Mixtape, Lana Del Rey's Lust for Life, and Taylor Swift's Reputation.
I had no idea you could still get new cassettes.
Nielsen Music's 2017 tracking year ran from December 30th, 2016 to December 28th of 17. Numbers in the story, in this story are rounded. Nielsen Music began electronically tracking music sales and data in 1991.
Well, to go along with that, we got a Mark Patch official top 10 list.
It's the Mark Patch top 10 selling cassette albums of 2017. And please quit calling it cassette albums.
In the U.S. Number one.
Wait, don't call them cassette albums
in
the U.S.?
Look at this. It's backwards. One starts first. Let's go to all the way to the bottom.
Thanks, Mark, for confusing us.
Number 10, Nirvana, Nevermind.
So it is or isn't Nirvana?
Nevermind.
Oh, okay. Number 9, Kanye West, Yeezus.
Weird. Number 8.
No, that's our podcast.
Number 8, 21 Pilots, Blurry Face.
All right. Number 7 of the top 10 selling cassette albums of 2017 in the U.S., Prince and the Revolution, Purple Rain.
Oh, such a great album. Mm-hmm. That's a great album cassette. Number
cassette album.
Oh, that's a great cassette album. Number 6, various artists, The Hamilton Mixtape.
Number 5, Eminem, The Eminem Show.
Number 4.
I like the peanut butter M&Ms. Those are really good.
Yeah. Look at this. The top 4 are all soundtracks. Number 4, soundtrack Stranger Things, Volume 1. I can understand that one being on cassette because it takes place.
Well, and the next one. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Mix, Volume 1.
Number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Awesome Mix, Volume 1.
And number 1 of the top 10 selling cassette albums of 2017 in the U.S., Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Awesome Mix, Volume 2. Because 1 through 4 are all nostalgia. They're all those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you could say actually 7, 9, and 10 are nostalgia as well.
Why would Kanye be nostalgia?
Well, hasn't he been around quite a bit? I mean, a while now?
I hear he's been around.
Ask those Kardashians.
Oh, never mind.
Back to Nirvana. You know, I really dig 21 Pilots.
Okay. Is that a show?
No, I got a lot of friends that fly airplanes.
You dig 21 of them. A couple of them you don't like. We'll be back in a few days. Please tell your friends. Please tell your enemies.
Yeah, just tell everybody.